these poor believers, these day laborers, and somehow they are caught up in sin. We don't know if they're Christians. They may not be. Not everyone who comes to Calvary Bible Church every week is a believer. There's always, like in the book of Hebrews, there's always going to be believers and unbelievers in a church building. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes they say they're believers and they're not. Sometimes they come in and they say they're not believers. But either way, there's always a mixed group. And these rich people were taking advantage of the poor. And so after, you have verses 5, 1 through 6. And that's basically, the sin had gotten so out of hand that these rich people basically have condemned and put to death the righteous man. Now, that could have been because he's withholding labor, right? He's withholding, the wages of the labor. And back then, if you withheld a day's wages, how's the family going to eat? They're not. And if that goes on for a period of time, you basically are, you're putting them to death. They're going to starve unless somebody helps them. So there was a gross sin going on here. Now, also in this congregation are the people who are being taken advantage of. And what does he tell them in verses 7 through 11? What command does he give to them? To be patient. It's all the same letter being read at the same time. If you close your eyes and you picture it, a scroll comes to this congregation, that's where it's happening, and the scroll is read. And the rich are addressed, and the rest of the brethren are addressed. And he's saying, be patient. And why does he say to be patient? Because Jesus is coming again. Behold, the judge is at the door. So hang on. Any injustice, right, is going to be made right. Don't worry, right? God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You don't. You be patient. Be patient like the farmer. Be patient like the prophets, right? Be patient as Job suffered and endured. You know, and I was sharing with my group, and I thought, why is Job mentioned? Because when I think of the prophets, I think, oh, they suffered at the hands of wicked men. They were thrown in cisterns. They were hiding in caves, right? They were chased, you know, Ahab and Jezebel, right? Elijah's hated. But when I think of Job, I don't think of him being persecuted or suffering at the hands of evil men. I think of him being, right? Would you guys think the same thing? I think, oh, God's dealing with Job, or God's allowing Satan, right, to have his way with Job. But who killed his family? Evil raiders, men. Who killed his children? Men. But as he transitions, I think as James transitions here, the boils, not necessarily, right? We know that those came from God. But I think as James transitions here, he goes from men, and then he's going to give us the big picture of reminding us that it wasn't just men who killed Job's family or, you know, his wife and all of those things, right? In the big picture, God is still allowing these things to happen. Be patient, right? The Lord's coming. Right? And not only is the Lord coming and he's judge, but he's going to make all things right. The Lord is full of compassion and full of mercy. Right? And so remember the big, you know, the big picture here and how it's tying into the context. And here's the challenge. Next week we have one verse. And this is what the verse says. But above all, my brethren, do not swear by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. How does that fit in to the verses that we just read about? And I really want you to think about it. And you may come back and say, I have no idea. But please just think about it, okay? Pray about it and think about it. Because your first, second question on next week's handout is looking at paragraph one, looking at paragraph two, and then the third paragraph's blank, and you're supposed to summarize it. Well, that's the easy part. It's only one verse. You can summarize that. The hard part is, how does it tie in with the first two paragraphs? Okay? But God is clear. Okay? And there is a reason. But sometimes we don't understand because of the context or because we don't live in that time period of how this ties in. So then we go to the Holy Spirit and we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us and we think about it and we pray and do not go to your commentaries. You hear me, everybody? Do not go to your commentaries. Oh no, she admitted it at least. Okay, don't talk to anybody. So what I want you guys to practice is just remember the same Holy Spirit that lives in the commentators lives in you. Yes, that's a commentary. Do not read the bottom of your MacArthur Study Bible. Do not go to the notes. Not until you've prayed about it and you've tried. Okay? So if you're exhausted where you feel like, I don't understand this, but one day is an exhaustion. Okay? You got the whole week. You got the whole week. Okay?
2 weeks.
Oh, right. Wait, is Maureen here? Okay. Where is Maureen? Okay. All right. She emailed me and said she didn't know if Shanna's... Okay, perfect. Okay, you've got 2 weeks to pray about this. Thank you. And with that... Jane, can you... hand out these handouts. With that, you can go ahead and put the slide on now. Thanks. Just the encouragement that we are to be patient because the Lord is near, because Jesus is coming again. And, you know, in this passage, it's really talking to people who are undergoing tribulation and physical trials and being taken advantage of. And I just want you to remember that is happening to you, but probably not to the degree that it was happening to these people. You are not starving, right? And to the point of where you're on the verge of death. And so there is a children's book that has great eschatology. Okay, some of you have it. I've recommended it before. But because at Moms, we try to make this practical for you, okay, one of the commands is to be patient because the Lord is coming again. So when you are wronged, when you are sinned against, when your child is wronged and sinned against by someone else saying that they're a Christian, how can we encourage them to be patient? How can we be encouraged to be patient? Well, just like the suffering and the endurance of Job, right? Job knew there was something at the end that was better than what he was going through. We as believers know that there is something at the end, right? Better than what this life is. And so often we do not go to Revelation. I mean, we would not read Revelation with our child. We would just think, they will be so confused. There's scrolls and lampstands and flying things and eyeballs, you know, and they're cool things, you know? And so it's like, right? But, it needs to go back to the cover. There we go. Okay, so, but this book has great eschatology, you know, and it has pictures, and Jesus has a horse, right? And so, you know, this is good, and I don't know up to what age, but I have a friend, a young couple, they were new in the Lord, and the dad found this on our bookshelf. They were living with us for 6 months, and they had two little kids, and he pulled this out, and he said, "Now I understand Revelation." this is so cool, and there's pictures, you know? It's a 30-year-old man. And I thought, you know, it is pretty good if you want the simple. And so there is the chart I gave you. Tim did this, the overview of the end times. There's not scriptures on here. You can always ask for them. If you want to email Ruth, the church office, and get it from Tim, we can do that. But we have the church age. We have the rapture. And I do have some verses for you. So as I'm going through this book, I'm going to state some scripture references. We have the tribulation. We have the great tribulation. And during that time, for the believers, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ. We have the second coming of the Lord, which is also ends the 70th week, which is prophesied about in Daniel 9. And then we have the white throne judgment, where all unbelievers are going to be judged. We have the millennial kingdom. We have the eternal state. Okay? So I'm going to read from this book. All right? And I'm going to add a few scriptures in here as I'm reading. So I'm going to read a page. I'm going to give a few scriptures. I'm going to read the next page. Okay? And you can write down the scriptures if you want. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 4, you can see the book. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it's a teacher thing. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, and you know the way where I am going. After Jesus had said these things, he was, Acts 1:9-11. And after Jesus said these things, he was lifted up. And while the disciples were looking on, a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. When Jesus arose from the dead and went to heaven, he left us with a promise. He said, I will return. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will, page 2, Jesus will come first for his church. The church is made up of those who love him. A loud trumpet will sound, and Jesus will appear in the sky. Then the dead Christians will rise up from their graves to meet Jesus in the sky. After that, the Christians who are alive now will follow, rising through the air to meet Jesus in the sky. This event is called the rapture. All Christians, living and dead, will be taken off the earth. First Thessalonians 4:13-18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will arise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Page 4. When we meet the Lord in the sky, a great miracle will happen. Our bodies will be quickly changed. First, our bodies will be made perfect. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the crippled will walk. All diseases will be healed. Second, our bodies will be made immortal. That means they will no longer grow old, and we won't feel pain anymore. and we will not get sick. Our new bodies will be perfect and they'll last forever. They will also be sinless. That means we won't do wrong things anymore. We will only want to do what is right. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Verses 51 through 55. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Page 6. After Jesus gives us our wonderful new bodies, we'll be taken to heaven with him. Heaven is a beautiful place where God lives. In heaven, we kneel before Jesus because we already believe in him. We will receive rewards. He will look at the record of our Christian life to see if we were kind to others. He will look to see if we obeyed our parents and teachers. Some of us will have beautiful robes to wear and other crowns. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to their deeds." In 1 Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." And then 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Okay. Page 8. After all these rewards are handed out, Jesus will invite us to a great heavenly dinner. It will be the most wonderful feast in all of history, and we will eat with Jesus and celebrate his saving us. Revelation 19:7-9 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And he said to me, "Write, blessed are all who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, these are true words of God. Page 10 and 11. While we are happy in heaven with Jesus, those people left on the earth will be having a terrible time. They will suffer from war and hunger and disease because they refused to believe in Jesus. The suffering will cause some people to tell God that they are sorry for the bad things they've done. Only when people admit that they've done wrong and turn to Jesus as their Savior can they be saved. Isaiah 2:11-12, and then 17 and 18. I just took an excerpt. Isaiah prophesies about the great tribulation, and he says, "Enter the rock and hide in the dust, for the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." And just remember when they use that term day, that it means a period, a time period. And in this case, that day of the Lord is 7 years. Time. "For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted on that day. But the idols will be completely vanish, Men will go into caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. Jeremiah 30, 40 through 7. This is the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. And why have all the faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great. There is none like it. And it's the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. Matthew 24, 21. There will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world, until now or ever will. Matthew 24, 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give us light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. After 7 years, page 12, after 7 years of this suffering, Jesus will return to this earth. He will bring with him all of us who have been given new bodies. We will return with Jesus to the Mount of Olives outside the city of Jerusalem. When we arrive with Jesus on that mountain, he will destroy all the enemies of God. The only ones who will be left alive will be those who gave their hearts to Jesus during that 7-year period of time. It should be in there. Jesus will then begin to rule over all the earth from Jerusalem. The scripture for that is Revelation 19, 11 through 19. And actually, Pastor Tim read this on Sunday. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has the name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth come a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, and is on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those of us in the new bodies will be sent through the world to help Jesus rule over the earth. Some of us will be judges. Some will serve as kings or presidents. Most of us will be teachers. We will teach people about Jesus and explain how important it is to love him. During this time, the world will be full of peace and joy, and there won't be war. Even the animals will live in peace together. There won't be any poor people or people without homes. Every person will have enough to eat and will have a house to live in. People will be kind to each other, and this will last 1,000 years. This is prophesied from Isaiah in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It will come about in the last days. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many nations and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn of war. Micah 4, 1 through 7. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of mountains. Oh, I have that twice. Sorry. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather the outcasts, even those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant and the outcasts a strong nation, for the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and forever. At the end of the 1,000 years, all the evil people who have ever lived will be raised from their graves. They will be judged and thrown into a place called hell because they refused to love God and his son, Jesus. Hell is a sad place of suffering and separation from God. The Bible says it is a place of fire that burns forever. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But those that love Jesus will be taken to a beautiful new city that he is building now. It's called New Jerusalem. There is a house especially for you. Other houses are prepared for everyone who loves Jesus. From the New Jerusalem, we will watch as God destroys the old earth with a great fire. Revelation 21, starting in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of clear jasper. It had a great high wall and 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and their names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates in the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. On each of them were the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And the city measured with the rod 1,500 miles, its length 1,500 miles, and its height 1,500 miles, all equal. New Jerusalem. God will then make a new earth that will be perfect in every way. There won't be any harmful animals or plants. There won't be pollution in the air or in the water. There won't be any earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes. The new earth will be more beautiful than you can ever imagine. Isaiah, again, prophesied about this in 66:22. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and an earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Then God will take us to that new earth, and God will come down from heaven to the new earth to live at the New Jerusalem with us. He will be our great God and King. Revelation 21, 2 through 7. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new," and said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Think of it. We will live in the presence of God forever in new bodies, in a new Jerusalem, on a new earth. All things will be made new. There will be no more sickness, pain, or death. There will be just peace and joy as we live with God forever. The Bible says that we are to pray Maranatha as we wait for the return of the Lord. Maranatha means, "Our Lord, come." Learn this new word and begin to use it in your prayers. Jesus loves you and wants you to tell him of your love for him by praying Maranatha. When you use this word, it means you love him and are excited about his return. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, you have such a wonderful plan, God. Forgive us, Lord, that we forget, Lord, that there's more to this life than what we see before us, God. Lord, forgive us, Father, that we are so worried and concerned about so many things that don't matter. Father, help us all, Lord, to be women who smile at the future, like the Proverbs 31 woman, because we know what the future holds. Father, help us to bring this truth to light, God, to our children. Lord, help us to live this in our marriages, Lord, and in our communities, Lord, as we are sinned against. Lord, that we will be patient because you are coming and you are coming quickly and you are the judge. We don't need to worry about those things and harbor bitterness in our hearts, God. Help us, Lord, to be that woman and help us to teach that to our children. Father, I just pray for all of us this week, Lord, that we will think on you, Lord, that we will sit at your feet, Lord, and that we will be reminded continually, Lord, of who you are, what you have done, Lord, and what you are going to do in the future. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.